This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, October 30th, 2016. The 23rd Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Thou art merciful to all that they may repent. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thou art merciful to all that they may repent. As we wind down this year that has been designated the Year of Mercy, there's been a couple times when I have pointed out that we need to understand the whys, and today we'll talk about the end of God's mercy. There is a reason for it. It's just not because. Unfortunately, in the presentation that we hear about mercy all the time, and there is nothing that gives us a perspective as to what it is, why we should be attentive to it. The other side is mercy. Same thing occurs with God's love. God loves us. He so loved the world. He loves. What does that mean? Because we'll get into it here in a second. God's love is nothing like our love. It is much more profound. It is much more deep. It is much more important. It's a whole lot better. God's mercy and His love are integral. His mercy is a manifestation of His love. His mercy isn't something to just think about or hear about. His mercy is truly something to see. I have pointed out before that His mercy is there for a reason. His mercy is there because His justice hangs over our heads. Unfortunately, in our day and age, we're probably not going to see the year of justice next year, but that's why we need mercy, is because His justice hangs over our head. But there is an end to His mercy. There is a reason why He is merciful to us. Well, He loves us. Yes, it's integral. His mercy, as I said, is an outpouring and a manifestation of His love for us. That's why we have mercy. But there is a reason for the end. We hear about it in that first reading today. Thou art merciful to all that they may repent. That's the end of God's mercy. Repentance. And if you do what I said at the beginning, as is common, if you don't know the end, why do I need it? And the message is actually even sort of the opposite of what this is. Oh, everything's okay because God's merciful. You can live this way because God's merciful. Deal with that person where he is because he is merciful. No, he is merciful because he wants them to turn away from that. He wants them to repent, to turn away. Repentance is not saying you're sorry. That is not repentance. Repentance is truly turning away and changing. That is the end. That is the consequence that our Lord desires as a result of his mercy. He is merciful because he loves us. Again, we hear about that a whole lot. God loves in a different way than we do. And it's not a matter of comparing and contrasting into our love is bad and God's is good. It's different. It's completely different. His is much more objective than ours. Think about human love. This is not me. This is St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa, he articulates the difference between God's love and our love. When we love things, we have arbitrarily and subjectively, and those are not pejorative terms, we have just in and of ourselves decided that something is better than something else. I love this because you compare and you contrast it to other things that you don't like or love as much. For those of you who are married, you love your spouse because you found out in the relationship that he or she was better than others with whom you had been in company, or in a general way, they were more and better. That is your arbitrary and subjective opinion. Some people love asparagus. Why? You know, I got to have a long talk with them. They love it. All right. Why? Because they have arbitrarily said, I like this better than that. It's not pejorative. There's no problem with that. That's just who we are. That's how we are wired. God's not us. God is nothing like us. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His love is not our love. He doesn't love things because arbitrary subjectiveness. God loves everything, as we read in that reading today from the Old Testament. He loves everything because he made it. This is my paraphrase version. That's why he loves things, because he made them. And anything that has perfection as its source has to be in itself perfect. That's why, because, let's stop here for a second. God is, theologically speaking, what they refer to as impassible. He doesn't have passions. We use the words love, hate, anger, wrath, all this kind, because those are categories that we can understand. We can't understand his category. When we talk about God loving or hating something, it's how he relates to it. When God created everything, we learn in Genesis that when he created everything, he stepped back and he said, this is all very good. Now, if Almighty God himself says all things are very good, that means it's perfect. There is no flaw in it. I love it. He loves it because he made it, because it, the source of it is perfection, and it is perfect. Thou lovest all things that exist. He relates to things when he creates them in love, because they came from him. But after the fall, his relationship with everything changed. It was not very good anymore. It was corrupt. The people in it are corrupt. Creation is corrupt. God's relationship with it had to be changed. He had to distance himself. He used to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, talk with them as friends. But after the fall, no more. Separation. That separation lasts until the incarnation, when God goes out of his way to put on flesh and dwell among us. And when we look at God dwelling among us, he is restoring that relation. He's offering to restore that relationship. The incarnation doesn't fix everything. It fixes those who will embrace that offer in faith and obedience. That's all about the incarnation. But it's still about creation. John 3:16, even godless heathens can articulate and recite John 3:16. Football players put it on their helmets. Race car drivers put it on their cars. John 3:16, God so loved the world. Notice it doesn't say God so loved every person in the world that he gave his only begotten son. It says God so loved the world. In Greek, the created order. That's what he loves. He wants to restore all things, and it's got to start with us. We have to be restored to a proper relationship with him, and we call that love because that's what we can understand. As I said before, the manifestation of that love is his mercy, and the reason for his mercy is that they may repent, we may repent. He gives us as much time as we have. Notice I didn't say he gives us as much time as we need to repent. He gives us as much time as we have to repent. He remains merciful, but we have to understand that we need his mercy. That's why we should have years of mercy. That's why I pray after it's over, you pay attention to his mercy. You pay attention to that manifestation of his love, because it's a reality. And there's a reason for it, and that is repentance. We talk about God loving, and I said that's a category in the relationship that he has when things are right. When things are not right, it is just the opposite. And the scriptures use the word hate. Well, I know God hates the sin but loves the sinner. Wrong. Sin is an abstraction. Sin is something that you do. God does not hate something that you do. He hates something that you do. He despises it. But guess what? Read Psalm number 5. That will tell you that it's not the sin, it is the sinner. In that reading from Wisdom, Those who dwelt of old in thy holy land thou didst hate for their detestable practices. Notice it doesn't say thou hatest their detestable practices. It says that those who dwelt of old in the holy land thou didst hate because of their detestable practices. This has got to rattle our cage a little bit and start thinking about something. Individually and societally, we have distanced ourselves very, very far from God. You know, for some reason, the presentation is that all things are well now. I will submit to you that all things are not only not well now, they are worse than they have ever been. God is more merciful in our day and age than he ever has been throughout history because of us. We've got to, in humility, we have to appreciate that. We know so much more now. We're so much more well informed about things. Well, guess what? There is nothing new under the sun. You look around us. You look out there. I mean, unfortunately, even in our own midst, and you get things like, well, you don't confront that person with that sin because they were born that way and they can never change. It's funny how God missed that. How some people can be born. Guess what? He didn't miss that. Old Testament. Thou wast not unaware that their wickedness was inborn and that their way of thinking would not change. They can't change it. He can by his grace. And we can change if we embrace his offer in faith and obedience. We can change. Don't ever fall into that trap. It's nothing new to present those things. That is the presentation. Why do we have mercy? That they may repent. We're telling, you don't have to repent. Because you can stay that way because God's merciful. No, God's merciful, so you will turn away from that. And it needs to be a confrontation. That's what this is all about. Confrontation with that. So nobody, I'll give you that one. They were born that way. We're all born sinners. Everybody's got their own proclivities, their own hot button. Some of us more than others. But guess what? You got to fix it. You got to fix it to put yourself in a right relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Something else in our society. One of the things that's pointed out in that Old Testament, he detested them because of another practice. Their merciless slaughter of children. I'm glad we don't do that anymore because that really makes God mad. The merciless slaughter of children. You know what? He's talking about people that sacrificed their children to false gods and would occasionally bury their children under the foundations of temples to demon gods. You know what? That was very limited. Certain times of year, if you built a temple to this false god, then you sacrificed a child. Handful of kids every now and then. God detested that. Look at our society. How many thousands of innocent children are slaughtered every day on the altar of the god of self and convenience? It's called abortion. These godless societies that he's talking about that he detested, abortion would have got you killed. It was against pagan law to kill innocent babies in the womb. Yeah, you throw a handful of them to the fires every now and then and bury one in a temple, but you don't kill babies in the womb. We do that with impunity. We do that under protection of the government. God detests it. It actually says in this reading, I said before that we know so much more now. In that reading, if you're going to do any Bible reading, this do wisdom. This starts in the end of chapter 11, goes through 12 and 13. Pretty lengthy reading. It's so interesting and it's scary to see how many things that God detested back then that we do much worse. And not only that, it actually says, and I said, what is the cop out now? We know so much more now. You don't confront people with their sin. It actually says that they have knowledge to investigate the world, but they cannot discover the Lord of that world. They thought they were smart too, and God detested them. All this being said is not something having to go home and just go, oh, but we're undone. Change as individuals, because when we change as individuals, societally, we will change. Our society will get better. The reason for God's mercy is to give us much more pointed appreciation of His love for us. His mercy is a call to us. St. Gregory the Great and Origen, early church fathers, they both explained this passage and God's mercies as a call to us to repent in humility. You know, you see that in the gospel reading today, Zacchaeus. This guy wasn't just a tax collector who everybody despised. We all know those stories about how bad they were, okay? Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. This guy was the worst of the worst. And he comes down and in humility, stands before the Lord and says, I will give half of what I own to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will restore it fourfold. He had to have defrauded a bunch of people. Repentance is not saying you're sorry. Repentance is doing something about it, turning away. That's what Zacchaeus did. That's what he expects us to do also, to show humility. We are a prideful people. That was started this whole nonsense in the garden. It has gotten worse. We're very prideful. That reading should check that, and among other places, that should check that. It says, the whole world before thee is like a speck. The whole world before thee is like a speck. We're just a small part of the world. So if the world before him is like a speck, what are we in comparison? We're someone who he loves because we bear his image. We're the pinnacle of creation. We have to appreciate that. But he wants us to be in conformity with his will. And the only way you do that is humbling yourself. You don't know best. Yes, people can judge you as long as they do it within God's parameters and not of their own free will and subjectively. It's all about humility and it's all about repentance. God doesn't love you because you're great. As a matter of fact, it's much more pointed and much more deep to understand that God loves you in spite of the fact that you are not. When we understand that, in humility, we come before him. And we ask him to help us because we can't do it in ourselves to change. And he does that with his Holy Spirit. To appreciate that is to appreciate and to understand God's mercy. Not just to hear about it over and over again, but to understand it and understand why he shows us his mercy. It makes us understand truly that he loves us in a way that we cannot even comprehend because his love is not like our love. And when you understand that, you understand the end of his mercy. And that's repentance. In the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.